Hope you're doing well. This is episode 178. We're going to be talking about farming, but not the type of print farming that you're used to. We're going to be talking about cultivating growth, because without cultivating growth, you're literally waiting for whatever the heck grows out of the ground and hoping that it's fruitful. One other thing to note, we're going to start trying this noon time schedule. It has nothing to do with daylight savings. I know the timing is kind of weird there. But it makes sense when we're done to toss people into Steve Build's stream. But to do that, he should be streaming. Steve and I agree that would be make the most sense. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking all about farming today and cultivating growth. I was having a conversation with a buddy, and he brought up this analogy, which actually really, really liked. It is the idea of the apple. You can cut open an apple and see how many seeds are in it, and you will know exactly how many seeds are inside of that apple. But what you don't know is how many apples that a tree could produce from that seed. That is the important factor here, because it's about cultivating growth. Sure, you could just eat the apple, enjoy it, and move on. But if you would take the time to actually build out a process for farming it, cultivating it, you could essentially get, well, unlimited apples. Now, this isn't the life hack to get more apples kind of thing. It's anything but that. That analogy is useful when you look at business. Because without cultivating that growth, you are relying on new business over and over and over again. And we've talked about it here. It's not about new business. It is about recurring business from good customers. And yes, new business is great. We love new business. But in any company, it is cheaper to maintain a customer and get them coming back over and over than it is to get a new one. Let's talk about everything here. I see we have some awesome people here hanging out. Mad Cat is here. Duff is here. Max is here. And he says, what if I don't like it? I don't know, man. I don't know what to do. David Connor Shover is here. Famelicious. I'm likely saying that wrong still. The 3D Printing Parlor is here. Max is asking, where am I? We're in Tampa, Florida? Anyways. And 3D Benefits is here as well. Thank you guys for showing up. Like the stream, subscribe if you haven't, share it with your friends. And if you are listening audio only, don't forget, you are a week behind. We do these episodes pretty much every single weekend live. And we love doing this kind of thing because it is all about helping you guys get to the next stage in whatever you're doing. Because cultivating growth is not just about business. It's about friendships too. It is way freaking easier to keep a friend than it is to make a new one, right? Once you're already working with people, it's so much easier to just stay working with them. Once you're friends with somebody, it is much easier to stay friends with them than it is to go find a new friend. Now, there might be times where things don't work out and you need to part ways for whatever reason, and that's life. But you'll notice getting a friend back to where this friend was before things started to go sour is much more difficult than it would be to maintain that relationship. That goes for customers as well, and it even goes for staff, right? I've talked about it a few times that we are actively hiring people. Our goal is to bring in a team of people to help out, to help us get to that next level. But part of my role as a manager is to help grow that team, help them get to a point where they are sustainable, where they're happy, where they understand their growth potential within the company, and if they're looking for more potential, allow us to assist them in getting to that finish line. See, your role as a business owner, should you be a business owner or looking to be a business owner, when it comes to staff, is not only to make a profit from them, but also to help them grow. You have to understand where your business lands in all of this, whether you are a company that could provide somebody a lifetime career, or if you are merely a stepping stone. And if you recognize that at this time you are merely a stepping stone, then, you know, honestly, trying to treat it like it's a lifelong career for them is not always going to work out for you. Understanding that people want to make more money more often as humanly possible. And if you're not the one to be able to do that for them, you better help them find that next step that gets them to where they need to be. Financial independence is something that most people in this world seek that don't have it, right? They don't want to always be beholden to the next paycheck to make sure that their bills are paid. And while we could go into an entire rant all about, you know, systems regarding income and government and all of that, we're not going to. We are simply going to say that, well, I would say that the vast majority of people just want more money. So why don't we help them get it? Max says, I think Grant forgot to change time. No, I didn't. It is noon, just after noon for me. We are going to be trying this new time. I am in a place where we do have daylight savings. So while if you don't have daylight savings, we are at the same time. It is an hour later for me. And I think we're going to try this out for a little bit. We'll see how it works. Maybe we need to move things around again. But 1 hour difference, not that big of a deal. Unless you were sleeping and then realized you had an entire hour of sleep stolen from you by the man. Because hilariously, daylight savings has a lot to do with farming. It has a lot to do with hunting. And it's just kind of become a tradition for no damn reason at this point. Because, yeah. Kind of a thing. No, it doesn't. It doesn't? Wait, it doesn't? My understanding was that daylight savings was a farming thing. Am I wrong? It's all a conspiracy theory. Are you serious? Oh. Okay, apparently it's a conspiracy theory, according to my brother. Well, hey. Apparently, the title of conspiracy theory only happened after JFK. If you ask the right people. But anyways, fine. Apparently my understanding of it is wrong. So why the hell do we do it? Daylight savings is terrible. Nobody likes losing an hour for arbitrary reasons. It doesn't make sense. Because especially if I'm going to be losing an hour for arbitrary reasons, I want to get paid for it. Okay? I want to get paid for it. But my goal here as a business owner is to help grow our team and get them to that next stage of life, whatever that next stage might be. And we understand that 3D Musketeers might not and probably isn't at the moment the final resting place for any of our staff. Their goal is to get a bigger job with more money at a bigger company that will, you know, pay them more, give them benefits, something that we don't currently offer because money. And, well, coming to terms with that means that fostering their growth and cultivating their growth often means preparing them for the next stage of their career. And we've had many staff that have left, that have come back and talked about how helpful it was, where we not only were helping them further who they were, what they were, why they were doing things, but we helped prepare them for their next job. And basically nobody else has ever done that, which is scary to me because I firmly believe in cultivating people. No matter what they're for, cultivating people is a big deal. And if you're not actively doing it, I feel like you're falling behind. So from Wikipedia, apparently, daylight savings time is first implemented in the U.S. with the Standard Time Act of 1918, a wartime measure for 7 months during World War I, in the interest of adding more daylight hours to conserve energy resources. Huh. Yeah, apparently the farming thing is a complete and utter conspiracy theory. Now, that's Wikipedia. Grain of salt that, but realistically, Wikipedia is pretty reliable at this point. So, let's go about this from a sales perspective, okay? Because if you are a hobbyist, maybe you're going out to some shows in person trying to sell stuff. Selling to new people, yeah, if you have the right pricing, is pretty simple. But if they're a one-and-done kind of people, they never come back, they never buy more, you will start to run out of target market. Because, well, we've talked about this before, maybe it's time to do it again. If you don't know your target market, or you say your target market is everybody, you're going to have problems. Your target market isn't everybody. Your target market is a very specific subset of a specific subset of a specific subset. We want to see this grow. But if you're not constantly working to make that happen, your people that are growing with you will, I'm going to put quotes here, they'll die like a plant would die, and they likely don't come back. Their value as a customer to you dies, and they don't come back. We want to see them come back over and over. And whether you're selling $20 dragons or you're selling $200 dragons at a show, if that same person knows your quality and comes back show after show after show, the amount of effort that you need to do to get them to go through the process of buying something is minimized every single time because they know the ropes, they know the process, and if you're lucky, they took your information, and if they need more pieces, they'll just call you. See, big shows like conventions and all that are often only there to help you get new business that you can attempt to foster into long-term business. I'm going to give an example of a client that we have, because I think it's important to kind of talk about it. And it's important to talk about this relationship because it is incredibly valuable for both myself and I think quite a bit for them as well. We have a client. Oh, I'm looking at their invoices. I'm debating on how long. They've probably been with us for 4 or 5 years now. They've been through, they're now on their fourth procurement director or procurement person who, they're on the fourth person that is my contact, okay? The person knows that we are the people that do 3D printing, these are the parts that we do for the company, this is the value that we provide, and this is what they need to order, when they need to order it, and we have a system. They send me a purchase order, I confirm it to them, I confirm the shipping date to them, and then we make the parts and we ship them out. It is a phenomenal relationship. And the only reason that I know it's a new person is because the email changes. It's the only reason I know there's a new person. I love working with this client. Now, some pieces we make good money on, others we don't. And while we could look at raising their rates, because that's the market, right? We are paying more for our materials. We are paying more for our time. We are paying our people more. I believe it is more important to work that knowledge in the beginning and not force a raise of capital or a raise of cost onto the consumer, especially for your long-term clients. Because at some point you raise your prices enough, they're going to shop around. And if you are a small business and there is any competition, the last thing that you want to do is have your clients start shopping around. You want to remind them of the ease of use that it is to work with you. And for me, it's not about trying to get as much blood out of this tomato that I can. It's about making a fair price for them, making a fair price for us, making sure that we deliver on time, and making sure ultimately that they pay us on time as well. They recently transitioned to a new AP system and dealing with sending us checks and all of that. And their new system charges us a fee to get the money via wire. So I said, well, all right, you can mail me a check. Well, we don't want to do that. I'm like, it's an option in your system. I don't want to pay any fees to get my money. I don't care if it takes an extra 5 days to get it for you to mail me a check. What I care about is that I get my money without any costs associated. And the person that would write the checks to us, the AP person, was like, you know, I never thought of it that way. I'm going to contact all of our vendors and alert them to the fact that if they're not getting money via written check, that they're losing money. Some vendors might be okay with this to get the money a couple of days earlier. I'm not. It was like a 3 or 4%. Like, it was more than I felt comfortable with for a fee to get my money faster. You can put it in the mail. I'll wait for it to get here. It worked out fine. There were no issues. And we've cultivated that client over the years. But it's funny because we kind of have to restart every now and then when they hire a new person. But it's fun because we get to go through this process once again. We already have the relationship with the company at large. And so we get to actually re-educate new people over and over. I kind of like that. I actually have a call set up with their newest person in 3 weeks to discuss this kind of stuff with them because they've never utilized 3D printing. And it's a great way for them to understand the process because ultimately, if the people that buy from you understand how the process works and the value that it provides, they are more likely to find other places where you can assist. It's the idea that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Because of that, you get apple trees that grow very close to each other because literally the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But at the same time, that apple can be eaten by an animal and those seeds deposited somewhere else and the tree can spread. That is the idea that when you provide good service to people, they are likely to talk about it to other people and those people might become your clients as well. It is about making sure that you cultivate that growth from day one. Because if you're not doing that, and you're just trying to get more apples without looking at more trees, in my opinion, you're doing it wrong. Now, I understand that more apples are better, right? More apples, more better. But if you're not trying to turn those apples into trees, you're spending more money trying to get more customers. Again, it is cheaper to maintain a customer than it is to get a new one. Look, I love new business as much as the next person. But when Fortune 500 companies call us year after year after year after year, and all we have to do is make good parts for them, check in with them every now and then, the amount of time and effort that it takes for me to maintain a large relationship with a very large business is minimal. And because of that, they have more value to me than all the work that we have to do specifically in 3D printing to educate the end user about the technology, how it works, why it works, and the value that it provides to them. I know a lot of you have dealt with this before, where you're trying to talk to people about what you do and how you do it, and they ask you, well, how does this 3D printing thing work? I don't understand it. And then now you go into teacher mode, where you're teaching them about your technology so they can understand your technology so that they can buy from you. It is so backwards. I hate it. I hate everything about it. Because it means that you're spending all of this time trying to educate versus trying to close a sale, build a relationship, whatever it might be. And while, yes, education is a great way to build a relationship, if it's the same thing that you have to do over and over and over again, it gets boring. It gets monotonous and you don't like doing it. It's literally why we started our YouTube channel, so that we could educate people about 3D printing and say, here's a video, go watch it. I am happy to talk to you in person about this, but at my rate for what we charge for my time, it is more efficient for you to go watch this 20-minute video than the likely 45-minute chat that it's going to take. If you have questions, I'll answer them. But ultimately, my goal is to help you get the education that you need to succeed in allowing us to help you solve your painful particular problems. It's a tough one, but I hope you're following. Companies talk about company culture. We've got company culture, right? You know, oh, we have unlimited paid time off. We have unlimited time off. It's bullshit. It's BS. Companies that advertise that kind of stuff are really, in my opinion, this is my opinion, hiding a lot of other bad blood that exists within the company. Well, don't get me wrong. There are companies that will have wonderful break rooms. Hell, we've seen companies that have beer on tap. In fact, Prusa has taps in their Prusa lab. So if you wanted to get beer, you can get beer in Prusa lab, which is super cool. But I've been into these tech companies, right, that have these ridiculous employee break rooms where there's all these video games, there's, you know, tabletop games, there's, you know, areas for them to work after hours on projects that they want to do when they can utilize the company for this and that. A lot of that fosters really toxic management. I don't know why. But for some reason, the companies that have really great kind of benefits for employees often have really crappy managers. Why? I don't know. That one we haven't been able to figure out yet. But that style of fostering growth and fostering that culture is a big deal. People will actively make decisions to go to different companies because they prefer the culture in one place over the other. That's why companies like Glassdoor exist. They help you understand the culture of a company before you go and work for them. So the last thing you want to do is go through all the effort of applying for the job, interviewing it, getting the job, being onboarded to find out the managers suck. And now you're stuck being unable to transfer for X amount of time, and you end up needing to do something different with your life, with whatever it might be. And you kind of hate the job. You learn to resent the job because of a person. Don't be the person that makes others resent their work. And while, yes, fostering a good, happy company culture is a great way to start this, don't take advantage of a good company culture by taking advantage of your staff. Project Dad's Garage says, anyone hate that this being called 3D printing oversimplifies it? I think that's what he says. There's a live reaction thing that covers up some of the words, and I don't, well, I guess I can copy his comment and I can check it. Yeah, anyone hate that this being called 3D printing oversimplifies it? Yeah, but it's what people know, right? Additive manufacturing is a more specific terminology. There's also full product development, but ultimately the general public will know it as 3D printing, which is fine. Go with what works, right? I was teaching on Friday, so every now and then we go and we teach at schools. We do that because, one, I make a little bit of money. I spent like 4 hours at this school, right? I got there at 12:30. I left after 5. So I was there for over 5 hours. And I made $150, okay? Right? Like, I'm not there to make money. This is a nonprofit school. They want to help kids in underprivileged areas. I don't need to make a ton of money, but I have to make sure that I'm more or less covering a little bit of my time. They've been asking us to get into 3D printers. They wanted to get 3D printers for their school. They didn't have a ton of money, so we actually got them in with a couple of SV06 pluses. And not only did I build them for them, I actually did one pretty much live for the students because, I don't know, apparently it's easier to introduce yourself as a professional content creator and a professional YouTuber to high school students than it is to introduce yourself as a, you know, over decade long successful business owner. Because, well, they want one thing more than they want the other. So, yeah. But like trying to explain that to high schoolers, it's not the easiest thing in the world. keeping their attention was difficult. But the professor was actually pretty interested because they are ultimately the ones that will be utilizing this technology. And I want to help them do that. That's a big deal. Whew. Sorry, I'm tired. I went to bed late and we lost an hour of sleep. And that wasn't even my fault. But for me, I know that this school is going to keep coming back to get help. We're going to book them a digital session on getting the slicers all figured out and learned. Because I want to help them utilize this tech in their classroom. They've got a relatively large theater department for a high school. And so the theater professor is going to be in that group as well, because obviously if you're in theater, 3D printing for theater is a great way to do things. So this went from me making $150 to go set up some printers and spend an hour and a half talking to kids to spending over 5 hours, some of it with kids, most of it with the adults, talking about the technology, showing them how it worked, and being able to foster those relationships. One of the last things that I did before I finished with the kids is I gave them a challenge. I wanted them to break up into groups. They can pick their own groups. I don't care. But I want them to break up into groups, and I want them to come up with an idea. I asked them to come up with an idea that 3D printing could fix. I said, I need you to keep it relatively normal, because if you win the top group, we will make your product for you for free. I gave away time. These kids were so invested in trying to come up with the best idea that some of them ended up being late to their next classes because they were trying to get this worked. I loved that because I finally found a way to connect with them. Now, when this all happens, I actually ended up picking two. I'm not going to tell you guys what the ideas are, but I'm going to get consent from their parental guardians. We are actually going to film it and we're going to turn it into videos so that you guys can see the product development process, and you're going to get to hear it from the perspective of a child who is going through this. I say child, they're young adults at best. But the teams that won were comprised of all under 18 years old students. And so I want to motivate them. Because for a lot of them, this is just some weird dude talking in front of a classroom. I have to plant that seed of, let's find a way that 3D printing can solve a problem for you. And because now all of a sudden they're thinking about how this technology goes from trinkets to problem solving, they now start to get their mind in the right direction for working the tech itself. Project Dad's Garage says, I live across the street from middle school and would love to help their STEM program. Their teachers don't know the tech at all. You can approach the teachers, as Mad Cat says, and show them what is possible with 3D printing. But it's actually better to find one or two professors that really want to utilize the tech, but the school is somehow not supporting them. Let them be the people that go to the school, because they'll have better luck going as a staff member of the school versus you coming in as what the school sees as a salesperson trying to sell something to the school. And Project Dad's Garage, they seem to just want a paycheck and have no love for what they are supposed to be teaching. And unfortunately, a lot of that is they don't get paid enough in the first place. Two, they're likely not teaching what they want to teach because they're being forced into different classes. Like, the music professor was also the engineering professor at this school. Why? I don't know. That's the way it is. And the theater director was also the religious studies professor, which, okay, I could see that, but those are two very different, you know, kind of spectrums of people that you expect to be in there. So if you can't find that person that is amped up to get technology like this in the classroom, well, you might have to say that that tree might not produce fruit right now. It is still good to help that tree grow and motivate it to get to that next stage. But ultimately, outside of fertilizing the tree actively, which can be volunteering at the school, giving out parts when you can, there's really no easy way for you to force a tree to fruit. It has to do it when it is ready. So part of team building is about growing your team. To me, it is about growing them as a person, right? You want to develop them, help them better see who they can be as a person, how they can get to that next stage in their lives. You as an employer, even as a you know, company that hires independent contractors, the 1099 style, right? You can still offer training and development opportunities for those people to help them grow. Recently, we switched from Adobe Premiere Pro to DaVinci Resolve because I am tired of one, sailing the seven seas for software, or two, paying Adobe every freaking month. So we switched to DaVinci Resolve. Well, our editor, we have two editors now. We had one editor at the time. He was not proficient in DaVinci. So I said, all right, you're going to have to learn this, but your time has value. When you are learning DaVinci, I want you to bill me. And yes, it's going to cost me a lot of money for you to learn something that you could learn on your own. But I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to give you 4 months and you're going to take the time that you need to get it done. So that's kind of what happened. And ultimately, we invested in that staff member for them to get another skill that actually makes them more desirable by other people. But by helping them get that skill, they are seeing that we are investing in them as an individual, as a person, as a staff member, and technically as their own company. To me, that has value in it because it shows that we are wanting to help them succeed in life, no matter what their journey is. I want to help people grow. It's why we do what we do. Now, understand, some trees will never fruit. Some apples and the seeds that you plant, those trees may never bear fruit. That is okay. They can still provide shade, they can still help you, and, well, they might be a valuable resource should that tree ever need to be cut down and utilized for lumber. Now, you might say, Grant, that analogy makes no damn sense. It kind of does, right? The shade will help you better move on to that next task, right? Someone that says, I am happy to learn this, but I'm not certain we have a use for it right now. They might go somewhere else. They might leave that company, go somewhere else, remember who you are. Then they can help you at this new company get involved with it. Okay. And ultimately, if they can't bear fruit, well, at least now you have one more person that understands what 3D printing is. And, well, that tree now becomes useful for other things rather than fruit. That makes most of the sense, I think. Mostly? Sure. We recognize that part of growing anything, relationships in general, is about partnerships and collaborations, right? What's the sign of a good compromise? Nobody is happy. Right? That's the sign of a good compromise. Both sides are not happy. That means both sides kind of got what they want, but kind of didn't, right? Sign of a good compromise, nobody wins. If you partner with other people, right? Whether it's a collaborative effort to produce a product, to produce content, to just hang out, you can reach new heights. There's this term called synergy, which, you know, big tech companies like to throw around like it's the new AI, right? It's like everyone wants to say they're using AI. It's not AI. It's LLMs, large language models. Stop it. It's not artificial intelligence. There is not artificial intelligence in ChatGPT. There is not artificial intelligence in like 95% of the things that say there's artificial intelligence. There's not. But it's the buzzword. Just like years ago, 3D printing was the buzzword. And why Kodak got into doing 3D printing. Kodak got into doing, what, NFTs as well, didn't they? They got into doing blockchain. They did a whole blockchain thing, and their stock went to the moon, and then it fell to the floor once again. That is a company that is grabbing its straws, trying to find the one that's going to keep them alive. You don't want to be a part of that. Unless you can see it coming from a mile away, you can invest in it and make some money, but that's not financial advice. Never has been and never will be. Bet with your money wisely, I guess. But if you can offer bundled products and services with other business owners or other staff members, you can build a more cohesive experience for your customers. An example for us would be that we work with patent attorneys locally. We have ones that fit different bills for different clients, right? We have Brent Britton, who's been a podcast guest, who outwardly appears to be an absolute, like, jerk. Right? The dude looks like he could mess you up. And he probably could. But he's one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. But he is going to absolutely charge you for every dime of his time. Right? He's very good about billing. And he wants to make sure that he gets properly compensated for his time. We have the individual, Mr. Chris Tanner, who's also been a podcast guest, that is going to teach you about the processes that you need to take and help you do it yourself. You'll pay him a little bit, but nowhere near as much as someone doing it for you. He wants you to get educated so that you can help spread the word. Then there's going to be people like Vanessa Ferguson, who has not been a podcast guest, but we should have her on. She is awesome, who is the sweetest thing you ever did, dear meat, until you find yourself on the opposite side of the bench from her. And my God, is she scary. I have seen her upset. She is scary. And she's awesome because especially when we work with female entrepreneurs, they want to work with as many women as they possibly can. It's a very common thing. And Vanessa is one of the few female patent attorneys that we happen to know. While she's not a patent agent yet, she is able to help them get like 95% of the way. And they love that because, well, they can stick with who they want to stick with. We want to provide that synergy for our clients where they are able to come in, work with us, and then be immediately transitioned to working with somebody else who works for them, right? Say, hey, this person we think is a great fit. Here's why they're a great fit. And oh yeah, by the way, we don't make any commission from this. We do this because we believe that this person will be a good fit for you because that's the way the world works. My back does not always need to be scratched. The fact that you are having a good experience scratches my back for me. I'm happy about that because I know you're going to talk to others about the good experience that you've had with 3D Musketeers. The last thing that I want is for you to have a crappy experience because you will tell more people about that crappy experience than you will about the good experience. So find companies with complementary product lines that can work with you. If you make products for an industrial manufacturing process, find the manufacturer that makes the products that your products go on to and see if you can help them on their actual production side. So instead of selling to their customers, you sell to the manufacturer directly. Then the manufacturer provides the product with a 3D printed upgrade already on it. Boom. Now you have a long-term customer who's going to grow with you. And as long as you have a good contract to keep them from cutting you out, well, got a pretty damn fine business model if I've ever seen one myself. Benjamin Smith says, wow, sitting here wondering how to ask for advice on approaching partners to develop a product and you start talking directly on the topic. Now, that one's a little bit more difficult, right? Because if you want a partner in today's day and age, you need to pay for it. The inventors that come up to us saying, you know, I will give you a percentage of the product if you do the development for us for free. Unless you have experience doing this, you can kindly kick rocks. Because ultimately 95% of inventions fail. And I can't still pay our team to do the work for a percentage of an idea that has a 95% chance of failure. Now, there will be times where making that decision bites me in the ass. Absolutely will. Where instead we could have made a ton of money by just partnering with this company or this idea or this person. But if we did that to every single person that offered it, we'd be bankrupt. We have to have money coming in to afford being able to do the fun products where, all right, sure, if this thing works, it could make a fair bit of money. They've got a business plan. They've got a marketing plan. But if you don't have any of that and you're saying, well, I don't have any money, but this idea is a billion-dollar idea, how do you know? How do you know it's a billion-dollar idea? Why should I trust you? Something to think about. If you are relying on you, on the trust of you being whatever subject matter expert you claim to be as a reason that somebody should invest in you, the likelihood of them actually investing is pretty low. If you can bring examples of where you've taken a company and you've 5x'd their revenue, you've helped them build a better product, you've increased their ability to deliver product to their customers, whatever it is, that is the relationship that you want. That's what you want. Is it what you need? I don't know. You probably just need money. But if you want to work with others, the best place that you can start is to freaking ask. Asking is just planting that seed. Talking to them about what's going on, that's planting the seed, right? Don't be the used car salesman. Don't be the person that's just like, hey, buy my product. Hey, buy my product. Hey, buy my product. Hey, buy my product. No one's going to buy your product. Don't be the sleazy car salesman. What you want is to be the individual that is actively going to help others get better at the things they're doing. Provide value in that relationship to begin with. If you don't provide instantaneous value, then you are the one who is sucking the life out of the other person. Provide the value. Let them see that you can be helpful. From there, you can start fostering a partnership, fostering a relationship, right? You don't go on a date with somebody and, well, I can't say that because I know some people do and it's not always successful, but it's the idea of the hungry man never eats, right? Don't be the one that's always begging and begging and begging and begging and begging. If you're always doing that, you're never going to eat. Be the one that wants to provide value, help. And if you can figure out a mutually beneficial relationship, you can build a partnership pretty quickly. Hope that helps. And honestly, I don't know if I would ever call it a partnership. Partnerships often involve a lot of paperwork and legal. You would call this more of a strategic alliance. Now, I understand that the colloquial term is going to be that you're partnering with a company. But do be careful about how you word it to people that have never done this kind of thing before. Because a partnership sounds like we're getting into a business relationship where you are getting a percentage of my company. Whereas a strategic alliance is more of this, we work together to produce a better product with both of our products and services for the customer. Those are two very different relationships that ultimately end up doing the same thing, but they're different relationships, so be careful about it. Part of cultivation is implementing scalable processes, right? I want to make sure that I can't. I will show the back of the paper. These are open invoices or open purchase orders that I have for a company right now. We have provided them a scalable process where if they order above a certain amount, they get a pretty sizable discount. And when their average cost, their average invoice to us is like $800. If they can save 20% on that, by instead of buying $800 worth of parts, I get them to $1,500 or $1,200. And sure, I'm going to take $200 off that. So I'm gaining $200. By giving a slight discount. Although for them, I think it's like a 10% discount that we've worked out. they are more likely to order more often with more parts. Because if they can reduce their cost to getting the pieces in, then they see it as, well, now we can make more profit margin as well. The parts that we do for them, they've been milling out of aluminum for years. Many of our companies have been utilizing 3D printing as a way to replace traditional manufacturing in non-mission-critical components, right? Additive manufacturing, at least on the polymer side, the plastic side, is not really useful for mission-critical applications, right? Mission-critical, I want metal more often than not. But things like the Zephyr Hills Bottling Company, yes, the water company, they make the bottled water. We 3D print gears for their printing line. While those gears are mission critical, they are actually designed to fail. We want the gear to fail. Not because we want more business, but because if the gear doesn't fail, their press crashes. And if their press crashes, that is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to remedy. So we'd rather have a $40 plastic gear break every couple of months, and it keeps the machine from failing and crashing, than we would to have it made out of metal, where now something else down the line breaks. Sometimes making a part that is known to be a failure mode is actually the right move. Unless, of course, you're Boeing. Don't do that if all you do is mission critical stuff that involves humans. Anyways. Benjamin says that's amazing feedback. Strategic alliance is a much better term for what I'm seeking. It is. But see, if you approach it that you're trying to partner with somebody and they've had any amount of time in business, they're going to instantly be turned off from this. If you approach them and say, hey, I want to work with you. I know a lot of people call it a partnership. For me, I want a strategic alliance where we work together and we produce a better product using your services, using my services, using your skill, using my skill, and we both make more money doing it. Well, is that the truth, Mr. Smith? Yes? Talk to me about it. How do you believe that we can work together to produce a strategic alliance where we both succeed? That's it, right? Instead of, I don't want to partner with you. I don't know who you are. Get out of here, right? Two very, very different scenarios. Part of cultivation is making sure that you water and you fertilize where necessary, right? You want to get a tree to produce more fruit, fertilize it. Fertilize it properly. Give it the right nutrients that it needs. Sometimes you have to do a soil sample, which will let you know what your dirt is like. Your dirt is you and your company. It is you and your hobby. It is you and the way that you communicate with others. If your dirt sucks, then you need a lot of fertilization. Oh, that could be a really weird analogy. Anyways, let's go after the dating scene, okay? Right? People that don't like and are very apprehensive about talking with others might bring a wingman with them out to a bar, out to a club, wherever it is that people go out to look for significant others at this point. And that wingman or wingwoman or wing person is there to help them look better, right? They're assisting you in getting what you need. That is a strategic alliance. Well, realistically, it's not. Unless that person really just likes helping. They're trying to help you. You have cultivated a relationship, but sometimes you need a little extra help, so you gotta help that ground be a little bit better than it was. Right? PC Evangelist says, make sure your wingman is an absolute dog, or better, an actual dog. Honestly, can confirm. Can confirm. Yeah, people just love dogs. Cats too. I'm a cat guy. I like cats better than I like dogs. But I also like dogs. See, dog people don't often like cats. I like both, but I like cats better. If you couldn't tell. Shirt's coming soon. Leave a like. Get subscribed. Also, support us. Patreon, YouTube channel members, PayPal. Links down below if you do think we deserve it. We do these every single week. And we are looking for a co-host, if that's something that you guys would be interested in. Let me know who you'd like to see as a co-host on here. I got to figure out how we would compensate them. That's still something that I don't 100% realize and understand yet, but we'll figure it out. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Dogs. Dude, dogs are like the perfect example of a strategic alliance. You help them, they help you, it's just better. Cats are probably more of a partnership, okay? The cat's like, I don't know about you. Feed me. All right, you're cool. Feed me again. All right, you're cool. No food? I can see the bottom of my bowl. I don't know if I like you. You know, they're always a little apprehensive. They're shifty, where dogs are just kind of uniquely trusting. I don't know if that works, but feel like you get it. You want to foster this development, right? You want people to continually develop themselves. I've got friends, I know, crazy to think about that. But I have a couple of friends here locally, and I want to help them be better people. But to do that, I want, and ultimately my goal is to help them get more money in their day jobs, right? Because what's the big problem for everybody right now? Nobody's getting paid enough money. So I want to help them be better at the jobs that they do so that they can get more money, right? So we will often just chat about resumes, about interviewing, utilize knowledge that I have to help them. But at the same time, they help me because, as a lot of you know, I'm disabled. I can't really lift heavy stuff very often. I'll end up hurting myself. And in fact, we have a video coming out this week on the Prusa XL, and I was not able to move it from where it normally sits behind me on our set to the table that I normally film on. So I actually had to zoom in my front camera, the A camera that we use on the main set, so that I could film with the printer behind me rather than in front of me. Kind of a pain in the ass, but it's life. But these two friends of mine are more than willing, given enough time, of course, to come out and assist wherever I might need. And that is awesome. That is a relationship that we have built. They help me, I help them. But often we just hang out because we hang out, right? There's no real reason to it. We're just hanging out, playing video games, talking on the phone. And that's what a relationship is all about, right? You don't always have to be providing value. Part of developing others is helping them be better at whatever they want to be. And sometimes they just need someone to hang out with, right? Maybe they don't want to feel all that lonely. That's why we offer all of our staff members the ability to hang out in our public Discord server with all of our fans who kick 10 bucks a month into the creator fund. Sorry, you get one-on-one time with me. I need to be able to at least marginally cover the amount of time that we spend in that Discord. And those of you that are in there understand that I'm in there very often. And that 10 bucks a month is basically a steal. And we have a really awesome community too. But, you know, I let the staff go into that. And I don't pay them for it, right? They're not in there to work. They're in there to hang out. But if they want to get a bunch of people together and do a video game night, a movie night, whatever, they all have the ability to do that without my consent. They do not need me to do that. They all recognize that if they want to foster a community of people, they want to hang out with others, they're welcome to do it. One of our staff loves the movie Cars, like way more than I thought, loves the movie Cars. So I've been working with him. He wants to set up a movie night in the Discord server so that everybody can watch Cars. But what we're really going to do is we're going to watch Cars and he's going to talk about it, which is a kind of a cool thing, considering he actually knows people that worked on the movie. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting one. But I want to foster that development, because why should I keep you down when instead I can help raise you up and be better? You might decide that we're not the last place for you to be. And yeah, that means I have to start the process of finding a new person over. But if you recognize that you want to get paid more, or you've got a job opportunity with this big company and you want to take it, you are way more willing to help me replace you so that when you leave, I have a new you, and you're even more willing to train that new you to do your job in a way that will help me than you would be if you were leaving for a bad reason. We've had staff get poached by major, like Fortune 50 companies. And the thing that I notice every single time that that kind of thing happens is that they are leaving us in a position to succeed. They leave manuals, they leave assistants, they leave guides, and sometimes they'll even come into the interviews with me to help find their replacement. That's freaking awesome. That's what I want to see in our community. So we foster it. We build it. We utilize it in a way that I think works well. So far, it works pretty well for us. It should work well for you too. Modiform prototyping is actually a cheaty XMAX 3. You who have one, is it good? I have an X plus 3. It's got some weird quirks, but it's a pretty good machine. Chidi is coming out with a new line. I can't technically talk about it, but I can tell you that it leaked online. And I definitely don't already have it. And we're definitely not going to be doing a live stream the day that it goes public. Get subscribed. Benjamin Smith says, I made skis and snowboards that function on pavement like they're on snow. Have highly functional prototypes and want to develop further with somebody like Burton. Any advice on how to proceed? Ooh, that's a tough one. So, you probably need a patent on that. You probably have to have a patent on that, if you can. Because a big company like Burton makes a lot of like snowboards, skis, and that kind of thing. Why would they need you? They just need your idea. They don't need you. They've got the engineers. So a company like Burton is actually more of a risk to you than it is a benefit if you walk in there, flop it out on the table, and expect them to say, wow, this is amazing. We want to order 10 billion. When in reality, they're going to say, this just isn't for us. And then 2 years later, they launch their own line of it because you didn't properly protect yourself. The problem is a patent is going to take you 2+ years to obtain, which is fine. Once you've submitted the patent, you can start going after companies. But if you don't have the money to actually defend the patent itself is, invalid. So, yeah. Welcome to the world of inventing. It's not designed to help you. We've had Seth Polansky, a patent lawyer, say the patent system is not for you. It is not to help you. It is to help the big companies that are able to lobby to make the laws the way that they want, that keep the little guys like you from being problems. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. It's more effort than you think. What is more realistic for you is to start producing them. Produce them under your own brand. Whatever brand that is, produce them. Work with a local manufacturer who can make 10 to 20 at a time, small run manufacturer. You're going to pay a lot more money, but you can sell snowbirds, right? Who want to live in Florida. I hate snowbirds. They're terrible. They don't know how to drive. But maybe they want to fly back out to Colorado into, I don't know where the hell else people go to ski. Is there some place outside of Vegas, right? I don't know. People that like to go skiing and snowboarding but don't want to do it all the time when it's cold. They can practice during the summer months. They can practice when they're a snowbird, and then they can go out and go, skiing or whatever when they want to. They would be your customer. But you have to learn that you are going to have to produce a premium product and you might get copied. But the trick is, if you build a brand, you build the marketing for it, you work with influencers and content creators in your space that can test your product, give you reviews on it, and help drive traffic to your website with affiliate links so that they can make a little bit of cash doing it as well, there is a big value for you as a small-time creator to do this kind of thing. Now understand, Burton can still copy you. If you don't have the protection, Burton can still copy you. The difference is you're going to have the social proof to go after them and say, we were doing this first. You guys directly copied exactly how we're doing it, and you get the internet up in arms about it. Is that the safest way? No, it's not. But it's the most affordable way. Unless you really have like 25 grand to just set on fire, it is very complicated to go after big companies. You'd be more likely to go after a more boutique snowboard and ski company that is maybe more handmade, they're more higher end, and go after them for licensing or go after them for contract manufacturing than you would a company like Burton. It's like going to Walmart and trying to have Walmart carry your products. Why would Walmart carry your products when they could just copy you? Or maybe they will carry your products for 6 months and then copy you. It's nothing personal, it's business. Although it feels very personal, it's business. And unless you're able to protect yourself and do it reliably, then often it's not always the best move to do. I understand that's not exactly the answer that you were looking for, but I think it's the one that we have to honest and earnestly talk about. Because if you go into it saying, I want to work with Burton, and then Burton copies you, and they give you no credit, you get no money out of it, you're going to be one depressed SOB, and we don't ever want to see what comes from that. You feel me? Hope that works. Benjamin adds, also, you helped me get into 3D printing, which made the prototype possible. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Well, hey, Benjamin, I appreciate you for coming here, telling me that. It is awesome. Thank you. It would be great if you could put that into a Google review and put that on our company web, on our Google page, because that's a really good testimonial. Thanks. Because I want to help people. That's why we do what we do. It is my preference to help others. PC Evangelist says, for the second biggest company in your, find the second biggest company in your field and offer it to them. Mention you wanted to offer it to the biggest. Yeah, you could. You still run the risk of them copying you. You have to find a company that is small enough not to copy you, but can handle the contract manufacturing. AstroLemonade349 says, hey, Grant, how are you today? You look a bit sleepy. That's my secret. I'm always a bit sleepy. But yeah, I'm tired. I was up late. Did a lot of physical labor yesterday. Yesterday was a very, very rough day for me. I didn't sleep great, and my back hurts. So, S life. We're getting through it, and we're making it happen. Jesse Northcutt says, but Grant, as you often and just now said, patents are only worth the depth of your pockets. However, there is a school of thought that a patent or PPA has a perceived value. It does. And when you're looking at licensing, they don't care about you. They want to license your intellectual property. But if you can't defend that intellectual property, they're not going to do it. And companies like Burton know damn well that the average person can't defend their IP. They just can't do it. So they're willing, sometimes, allegedly, to copy you and can likely get away with it. Because what are you going to do? Sue them? They're a multi-million, if not multi-billion dollar company. And you are one person. And while, don't get me wrong, the story of David versus Goliath is one. It's story. It ain't one that happens very often. You want an example of it? Go look at Josh Malone? Yeah, Josh Malone and his story. It's called Invalidated. Go look up Josh Malone Invalidated. It's a movie, I think. It's definitely a story of how one individual, Josh Malone, went up against Telebrands, the As Seen on TV company, because they stole his idea, the Zuru Bunches of Balloons. It's now called Zuru Bunches of Balloons. His idea was named differently. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but go watch that documentary. It will piss you off. It is going to piss you off. I'm going to let you know now because you're going to get mad. Just watch it. It is unfortunately all too common. So if you're producing a very niche product, then just make it expensive and make them to order. There's no reason you can't do that. So Benjamin says, I have connections at Red Bull who are aware of the project. Interesting. Can I leverage that project? Can I leverage that to project my interests or protect my interests? No, Red Bull's just as likely to take it from you as well. Now, if there are people at Red Bull that aren't like key decision makers that really like the idea, you might be able to work with them to get one of their sponsored people, your board or your skis, to get them to try it out. You can talk to this person, right? Or these people, whoever they are, and say, look, I want to get into manufacturing this. I need capital to make it happen. And I want to be able to protect my idea. I don't know if it's something that Red Bull is interested in. Obviously, it's not really their brand. It's their influencing side of their brand. But I'd love to talk to you about who you think this might be a better fit for if it's not you guys. Yeah, that's a difficult one. He said, what's it called again? Josh Malone's Invalidated. Invalidated. So, yeah. Ashley Lemonade says, it's also the companies that clone patents and are not trackable. For example, all the knockoffs, there is no brand, no text around it. Who would you sue? Nobody. You can figure out who manufactures it. And in a lot of cases, it has to be present with who manufactures it. It's not difficult, right? The companies that are buying it and putting it on their shelves, they can be sued to give up their manufacturer. Then the manufacturer can be sued. Look, with enough money, the lawyers will find it. But that's the problem. You have to have enough money. If you don't have enough money, it doesn't work. You feel me? Anyways, back to cultivating growth. Flexibility. You want to be flexible. Be flexible with your staff, right? If you are rigid about when someone needs to work and when they need to leave, right? They're a 9 to 5. They work from 9, they leave at 5. Rather than, hey, if they want to come in at 10 and work till 6, I don't care. If they want to come in at 7 and they work till 4, I don't care. As long as they get their work done. Hell, if they can get 8 hours of work done in 4 hours, go home. Some businesses would say, well, then I'm going to give you more work. But what you're doing is, well, you're cutting their value. Don't cut the value of your team. We're looking to hire a writer right now, a technical writer. And I don't like paying per word. I don't believe it's a valuable way in the realm of technical writing. Because you will have to do research. You'll have to watch videos. You'll have to read stuff to do technical writing. Because of that, paying per word means you're doing a lot on the front end to hope that you can write enough in the back end. And if you don't feel as though your article is long enough, you're going to go start word salad it out so you can get paid. Right? I believe it's better to get paid per hour, where I have a minimum per article that I want to pay. What that is depends greatly on how fast the person is. If they're relatively slow, that value goes down, right? Because they're going to take a while to get something done. If they're very fast, the value to me goes up because they can produce more faster. And if you can produce more faster, you should get paid more per hour, right? It's the mechanic idea that this is 4 hours of work. If you can get it done in 2 hours, you still get paid for 4 hours. You hit a minimum. That's the kind of thing that I implement and want to implement with our technical writers. Because that's what I want to do. I want to make sure that their speed does not become a detriment. We don't want someone's speed to hurt them. So I want to be flexible. If there is a technical writer that comes to us and says, I want to do technical writing for you, I want to get paid per word, and here's why, I am more than willing to listen and be flexible about how we pay people. We've had staff that need a little bit of extra help, so they see if they can get an advance. I'm happy to help them out. It's just not going to happen very often. Because again, it's not my job to take care of that. It's my job to pay you what you're worth. It's not my job to make sure that you can pay your bills. But the last thing I want is for our staff to be food insecure for some reason. That's ridiculous. You don't want that. So embracing that flexibility, things like if you have an office job, offer your staff to work from home a couple of days a week so that they can save on gas. Or hell, don't bring them back to the office. People love working from home. Some don't. My mother really likes working in an office. I just know. I don't like it. I prefer to work from home. Our staff prefers to work from home. So everybody works from home. But if there are ever staff members that are local that don't want to work at home, we have a second office they can come to and they can work at. Totally for free. We'll not charge them a dime for it. I want them to be comfortable with where they work. It's a big deal to me. Astro Lemonade says, for 9-to-5 jobs, paying per hour is not beneficial to talented people since it's burning them out. They finish work in 1 hour instead of 8 because they are efficient, not because they want more work. Bingo. So what happens is if you're making $100,000 a year and you're expected to work 2,000 hours a year, but you can get your work done in 500 hours, if you get loaded up by bringing yourself up to 2,000 hours, you're effectively doing the same work that somebody would do in 8,000 hours that you're getting done in 2,000. So what's happening is the value of your time is being diminished because you're faster. It's why I want to say, this is the amount of work that I expect you to get done in 8 hours. If you get it done faster, go home. Go home. I don't need you. You're done. Your job's done. Now, I might opt to bring more work to you because you have more available time, but we're going to discuss that, discuss how we're going to increase your compensation, discuss how we're going to help you make more money from it. Does that mean I'm the most successful business owner on the planet? No, it actually means I am not the most successful business owner on the planet because unfortunately, successful owners tend to take advantage of their team. I'm sorry. But when you look at what it takes to make money, you make it on the backs of others. Either you can be the one sitting in front saying, let's go this way, and you lead them. Or you can be the dictator yelling at them to move in a direction while you follow slowly behind. I would rather get up front, grab that rope, and keep pulling that boulder than be the one that lets everybody else do the work and not do anything about it. Does that mean that I don't make as much money as I could? You're damn right it means that. But it also means that we have incredibly high staff member satisfaction, people that are willing to go the extra mile for us, and they recognize that I am also willing to go the extra mile for them. That, to me, that is what business is what business is about. That is what business is about to me. Jesse Northcutt continues. I should point out that Jesse Northcutt, I'm going to give out some information about you, Jesse. I have a feeling you're okay with this because you've talked about it publicly before. Jesse is a serial inventor. Jesse does some work local to his area and nationally to assist inventors all around the world. So Jesse is not just some random person. Jesse is technically a client of ours, but is also a fan. So I should kind of put that out there because as I'm replying to him in a way as if I know him. It's because I do. We've worked together a lot. He says, in particular, the PTAB, which is Patent Trials Administration Board, I think. PTAB, which has a record of invalidating 84% of patents brought before them. Yeah, the PTAB was designed effectively to quell small patent people. Right? They don't really care about the big people. They care about the small people. I mean, we just saw Bill Steele get one of his ideas stolen by a company. Did they know? We don't know. Bill Steele has a patent around belt printing for resin. He has a patent about this. And 3D Printing Industry put out an article about this company that just released this new and innovative printer. It's a resin printer, but it's on a belt. It is effectively in direct violation of Bill's patent. We don't know if they were being malicious and they thought they could get away with it, or they just didn't know. But Bill has to contact them and talk with them now because it is a violation of his patent. There are a few options that Bill has. He can try to work it out with them to where they pay a royalty, whatever it is, they pay him to license the idea. Or Bill can shut him down. There are a few other options, but TLDR, Bill needs to get an attorney. And that's expensive. Because when you have to get attorneys, who wins? The attorneys. The attorneys always win. Master Eliminate says, some of my colleagues like working from office because they have their moments of silence there. No wife, no kids. That's fair. That's fair, right? It's their quiet time. And yeah, not being able to have a dedicated space at home, that can be a problem. That can be a problem. It's like the problem that I have of asking people to leave a like and get subscribed. It always feels dirty to me every time that we do it. But it's what we need to do to grow this business of the YouTube channel. And hey, a couple of bucks in that creator fund if you're feeling it. It's always fun. But yeah, the way I see it, there is a lot of value to be offered to those out there. There is a lot of value to be offered. But, if you don't maintain your crop of trees, they will wither and die. Part of cultivating growth in yourself, in others, in your business, in your private life, it is all about actually cultivating the land itself. It is about keeping it watered, making sure you're not overwatering or underwatering. It is about making sure that you are building those relationships so that they are always mutually beneficial, so that every party feels as though they are winning, no matter if they are or aren't. Building value is incredibly important. You will see it. Every one of us has had a relationship where we felt like somebody only called us when they needed us. Amber points out that I don't contact people enough. And that because I don't do it, they don't do it. Because they don't do it, I don't do it. And the cycle continues over and over. And yeah, I'm probably guilty of that. But at the same time, if you're friends with someone, you haven't heard from them in a while, contact them, reach out. I do say it in every single video. There's only been a few that I've ever missed it in. Or I tell you not to forget to call your loved ones. People that you love don't just have to be your family. You can love your friends. You can love your colleagues. You can love what you do. I would always seek to build relationships. And something that I'm trying to do better at as I get older is maintain those relationships. Because those relationships, well, they don't always last. Those of you that have had great friends and then you went off to college and you tried to remain friends and you slowly drifted apart. Maybe get together every now and then and it feels like that time has never passed, but you know it does. And that's life sometimes. It's sad, but it's true. Metallica said it right. Ashton Lemonade says, unfortunately, at some point, it's getting tired to be the only one that wants to maintain the relationships. You're right. If the ground at which you plant your seeds is not fruitful, then maybe it's time to find new ground. Now, I'm not saying it's time to move, right? No one can afford that in this economy. Dear Lord, have mercy. But maybe it's time to just try a different area. If you don't feel as though you're being valued by those around you, or you feel like you're the one always putting in a lot of effort, ask them. Talk about it. Don't be a dick, but talk to them about it. Because who knows? Maybe they have social anxiety. Maybe they always feel like they're a burden. Maybe this, that, or the other thing. And because you've never bothered to ask, you just assume the worst. Right? I have a problem with assuming that most people find me to be a burden. It's how it goes sometimes, right? And the mean YouTube comments definitely don't help that. But because of that, I don't often reach out to people because I don't want to feel as though I'm a burden, especially since I was injured. I often feel like I'm a burden. And I'm coming up on 4 years too. In 1 month, well, yeah, 1 month, it'll be 4 years since I got injured. April 9th of 2020 is when I injured myself, or when I got injured on the job. It's probably more an accurate way to say it. But I always feel like a burden when I ask for help because I don't know anybody in my immediate area. Everyone that I know is like, you know, 45 minutes away each way. That's a pain in the butt. But I do my best to reach out, maintain relationships, and You know, if the relationship fades, it fades. It's life sometimes. Sometimes you just got to find a different place to plant your crop, if you will. Different place to plant the seeds. Because those seeds of growth are how you get more apples to grow more trees, to grow more apples, to grow more trees, to grow more apples, to grow more trees. You see where we're going with this. If the ground that you are trying to cultivate in is not producing what you want, find new ground. It's good for farming. Or you can always try to fertilize it and make it the ground that you want. But will you feel that the time that you've put into it is valued and valuable? I can't answer that for you. So, what type of value do you want to provide, right? What type of value do you want to provide? Allison says, or find M&Ms. Allison is referencing something, and I don't remember how we got into this. We talked about 40 kilos of M&Ms in the Discord and what 40 kilos of M&Ms looks like by volume. And just the things that we go down rabbit holes of in the Discord is kind of hilarious. The 12 subscribers. I do not remember what you are exactly referencing. My mind is fried right now. But I still like doing these podcasts because, like Benjamin, I like to help people, you know, and I want to help you guys grow your relationships no matter what they are. Because, like, this advice is not just useful for business. This advice is useful all over. It's always useful. You want to look at people as ways that you can assist others, not as how you can extract the most value out of them. It's how can you work together to produce a valuable resource and a valuable asset for your group, your team, your whatever, moving forward. Astro Lemonade says, we also need to learn what makes us feel happy. For someone, it sounds like souls like games that make them throw the game controller. For others, it's reading a book. Oh, okay. So for some, it's video games that make them get pissed off and throw the game. That's what makes them feel happy, right? They love video games. And for others, it's reading a book. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what cultivating growth is about. It's about providing the right nutrients for the right relationships, for the right trees. So. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't miss 12 M&Ms out of 40,000. And then, I have to go into this now. That's right. Yeah. We had a day of negative subscribers, and I always take that personally because, like, I spend a lot of time trying to build the channel. We lost 12 subscribers in one day. And I took that very personally because it's like, dude, I work really hard to make sure that this channel is constantly growing, to make sure that we always have growth coming in. And that's a tough thing sometimes. So sometimes it doesn't always do that. And I was upset because we lost 12. And we have like 41,000, right? It's like, so 12 of 40,000 is what? It's incredibly small, right? It's like 0.3% or something. It's very, very, very tiny. And then we started talking about M&Ms. It's like, you know, would you feel bad if you lost 12 M&Ms out of 40,000? And then one of the members of the Discord, I think it was Duff that did the math for how much 40,000 M&Ms would weigh. And we went down the rabbit hole of, could you swim in that many M&Ms? Could you take a bath in that many M&Ms? And then I said, that's for only grantrants.com. Yeah. That's a thing. 0.03% loss. But it still feels incredibly personal because we normally grow between 20 and 50 a day. So if we lost 12 on paper, that means we really lost like 40. And yeah, it feels personal. Will that ever stop? I don't know. It might stop when we get sponsors for the channel where I don't have to worry about the numbers anymore because I can make videos that not only that I enjoy, but will convert. Sometimes I have to make videos that I know will convert, but they're not always the most fun for me to make. Because right now we're trying to bring in those monetary sponsors to assist where we're not able, so where we can make content that we enjoy, not content that's going to convert. Right? That's where monetary sponsors come in. We're looking for those, by the way. If you know any companies that are trying to do sponsorships, we are looking for a sponsor for the Rocky Mountain Rep Rap Fest. We're going to be bringing a new immersive experience like no others. That is something that nobody else in this industry has done. We're going to be bringing you guys an immersive experience to Rocky Mountain Rep Rap. I am excited to do it, and I hope you guys are excited for it. If we can do this, I am going to do a 360 live stream, 360-degree live stream, so that, and we'll just walk around. We'll walk around for maybe, I don't know, an hour or so with a 360 camera so that you guys can see whatever it is that you want to see. And I'll keep an eye on the chat. We'll stop at different booths. We can talk to people real quick. We can show you guys stuff. And because it's a 360 video, you can move around and look where you want to look. So, yeah. If you're not able to go to Rocky Mountain, I want to bring you an immersive experience to go there as much as we possibly can. And as Allison says, yes, we are playing the long game. It is always about playing the long game. The short game is getting as many M&Ms as you can right now. The long game is knowing that sometimes you're going to lose some, sometimes you're not. Astro Lemonade says, calling Prusa to get your hair cut again. Well, no, I'm not going to go into that. I don't know if that's stuff I can talk about. We're not sponsored by Prusa, and I know why. I'm not going to go into it. It's nothing to do with like me personally. But yeah, we're not sponsored by Prusa and we know why. It's fine. I do get it. It's business. But yeah. Definitely. Sorry about that. I didn't know about it. It's fine. Prusa does not actually sponsor very many people. And the people that they sponsor hit very, very specific things that they're looking for. I know what those things are, and I don't want to tell them, right? I don't believe it's public knowledge, but yeah. Madcast has approached Polymaker. They sponsor everybody. Maybe I'm going to try Peel Poly, actually. I'm going to try to see if Mark will sponsor us. I don't know if he will. We'll see. There are a few companies on the list that I want to go after. But it's, again, one of those things, like, I'm really bad at reaching out to companies because I'm really bad about talking about myself. I don't like doing it. It feels very awkward. I can talk about anybody other than myself in a way that will make them look like they're the second coming, right? They're just amazing people. They're perfect. They're what you want on your team. I'm really bad about doing it to myself. Really bad about it. And I know I'm not the only one that does it that way. So, yeah. Sorry. So, if that is something that you could help us out with, and you believe that you could help us get sponsors for the channel, for events, for whatever, reach out. I want to hire someone that can do that. We would be doing that as a base pay plus commission. You would get a percentage of what you bring in. Because, again, your success should present you with more value. Not the other way around. Christian Bureau says the knife community offers affiliate links with coupons for their followers and sponsor for you. Yep. Yeah, there's each community kind of has its own companies that are willing to throw money around. But the big deal with affiliate links is that you do get a percentage of the cut. The problem with affiliate links is that if you put an affiliate link in a video, you are financially motivated to say good things about it. Because if you don't, no one clicks that link and you don't get more money. So it's this weird ethical and moral dilemma regarding affiliate links for us. I have to look past it and say this is business. So like when we stream with a new printer for the first time, I should have affiliate links in the description. I should, because it's how we will make extra money for stuff like this. It sucks because it means that I'm, you know, financially motivated. But yeah. You can tell it's an uncomfortable thing for me. But that's life. Life is about being uncomfortable from time to time. If you're not uncomfortable from time to time, you're not taking enough risks. Take those risks, build those relationships, build strategic alliances, right? Be the best person that you can be. Be the friend that you want others to be to you, to others. And maybe, just maybe, you'll find that somebody else has been yearning for a friendship like that as well. And you find yourself a new best friend real fast. Courage is facing those things that scare you and doing them anyways, Mad Cat says. Yep. Yep. He's right. It takes a lot to be courageous. If that's not you immediately, that's okay. For me, I know that it is better for me to pay somebody to do that work for me than it is for me to try to do it myself. I will have better luck when I don't have to get the no's and I don't have to see the amount of times that nobody replies. Because I won't take it personally. For them, it's just part of a job. I will take it personally. It's like Madcat says, it takes courage to put yourself out there on live streams. It does. It's a lot of work. It's more work than people think. But I love doing it. I love sharing my passion. I hope, if nothing else, you all see that I am incredibly passionate about the work that we do here. I want to share it with you all. And I would love nothing more than if you have a video that you want to see us make, that you let me know so we can make it. We have some cool content coming up. I took cameras with me to a scanning job. We're going to show you what it's like to 3D scan from my point of view, what that looks like. Hilariously, I don't know if I will be able to show you the model because I currently cannot export it with texture. I don't have enough video memory to do it. My 4 gig graphics card in my scanning laptop is not enough. Even when I give it more memory to do it, it's still not enough. And I don't want to risk trying to move the software to another computer because it's a $1,200 mistake if I do it wrong. I can show you the model without any texture, but the scanner does take texture. So I'm not entirely certain how we're going to show all that off, but we did take video, POV footage, of me scanning a vehicle that we recently did. Although I might just end up going out to car dealerships and seeing if they'll let me scan cars, and we can make videos about that stuff, so... I don't know. We'll see what happens. Astro Lemonade says, it's both a blessing for customers and a curse for new content creators that the 3D printing space is super populated with a majority of artificial opinions. Sponsorships have a bad reputation. Modern world has taught us that a sponsored video equals not an honest opinion most of the time. That's right. And it's why we can't take money to do a review. We can't be sponsored by the company that we are doing the review for. They can't pay us. Because if they do pay us, we've got a problem with ethics. But just like every review website does, we're going to put affiliate links in it, in the review, right? In the video description, there will be an affiliate link if you want to buy the product to buy it. But that means to some extent that there is a financial motivation for me to speak kindly about the product. So it's always something that we've struggled with because I want to be honest and I will be honest, but I know that sometimes if I'm honest and it sucks and I'm honest about that, it sucks. Well, I've just really shot myself in the foot, not only to ever work with that company again, but to ever get some sort of compensation out of it. So you're not going to see us often throwing affiliate links out on Twitter or any of the social medias. It's just not something that we do. It's not something that I like. I find it a little bit scummy, to be honest with you. But we also can't afford to buy the products that we review. We'd be bankrupt overnight, right? Ashley Lemmy says, but they're already paying content creators with a free product, and also a silent promise for a good review equals more free products. You are correct. You are correct. There is a non-monetary compensation by getting the product for free. But you should recognize that the amount of time and money that it takes for us to produce a video, right? When I bill out my time professionally, I bill out my time at $150 an hour. To schools, I bill it out at $75 an hour because I want teachers to be able to afford it to the school, right? I bill out my time at $150 an hour. So if I'm doing a 3-hour live stream, if I have any research done before that stream, that needs to be billed as well. If there's any editing that we're doing, we need to bill that as well. On average, a video, all in, including my time, editor time, everything like that, we're looking somewhere in the range of $1,200 to $1,500 per video, hard cost, right? And so if I can get a free printer to not add another $500 to $1,000 onto that video, you damn straight I'm going to take it, right? But there are printers that I pay for, right? I paid for my Prusa XL. I paid for all the Prusas that we own. I paid for all of them, 100%. We've had no special treatment from them. The Magneto X was sent to me for a beta test. So it wasn't sent to me to make content. It was sent to me to test. I decide to make content with it, but if you notice, there's no affiliate links. Hell, I don't even think there's a link in the Magneto X testing video description. I should probably fix that. But like, we do that stuff because it's the right way to do it. I want to make content. I want to show you guys the cool stuff where we pushed a Magneto X literally to failure. It was fun. But at the same time, I reported all of those findings to P.O. Poly themselves, and they replied back to me saying, yep, you'll never be able to go faster than 1500. That is a software limitation. And so my next question was, how do we remove that limitation? Because I want to send it and see what actually happens. Yeah. The world of content creation is actually governed by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. There are legitimate things that I have to do to disclose that something is being paid for. And it's why companies like Linus Tech Tips or Linus Media Group have done the channel Short Circuit. Short Circuit is just a channel that does unboxings and first impressions. Those are not reviews, and therefore they can be paid for it. It is a very fine definition change, but it is enough that they are legally okay. Something that we've thought about doing as well, because we have to be able to afford the work that we're putting into this. And it's why content creators tell people to subscribe. It's because those subscriptions are that social proof to companies that don't understand that it's not about subscription numbers. It's about how much people actually interact with the videos. But I digress. Christian Bureau says, some products are 100% good and appreciated by everyone. Yes, some opinion will be different, but in general, if I want the products, I will buy it no matter what. Getting an affiliate link helps everybody. Yep, it's true. Astro Lemonade carries on saying, yeah, you also have another problem. Paying for a thing that turns out to be a good thing, doing a free review, you paid the product with your own money feels bad since the company is getting free ads and free marketing. Yep. Tarzman says, the amount of people that think we are financially supported by Prusa is nuts. Legally, we would be required to disclose it. Since Prusa does not support us financially, there is no disclosure needed. On the topic of LTT, every single time Linus is hands-on with Framework, they have that disclosure that he is an investor with Framework. That is a legal requirement. It's a legal requirement. And yeah, I have to legally disclose companies that sponsor us, right? So like when Printed Solid sponsored us to go to the Sanjay Mortimer Rep Rap Fest, right? They sponsored us to go to the UK. Every single video has a sponsor spot in it. It is very clearly marked as paid promotion because ultimately that's what it is. We don't even have affiliate links for Printed Solid. I don't even know if they do affiliate links. put their link in the description. I just like their damn filament. They make good filament, and I liked it before they paid me. My opinion doesn't change with that money. It doesn't hurt, but it doesn't change. Because Printed Solid wanted to support us in making cool content. That's what they wanted to do. So they did it. And it was awesome. Also, yes, Brad's orange is the best orange, damn it. Anyways, I feel like we've moved away from the main topic. And I think we've kind of gotten where we need to get. It is not about how many seeds are in the apple. It's about, with the right amount of time, cultivation, care, and effort, it is about what that apple can produce for you, for that fruit down the road. It is not about the short game, it's the long game. It is not about doing something right the first time. It's about doing it right all the time. It is knowing that not always is that tree going to work out. But that doesn't mean that you should assume that it's going to fail every single time. Life is about taking chances. It's about taking risks. It's about being different. And that's okay. It also is about helping others, providing value, being kind, being caring, being understanding. It's about being different. It's about being different. I am going to send you guys over to Steve Builds so that you guys can go hang out with him. That way, as soon as we're done, you're going to be hanging out with Steve Builds for a bit. Say hi. Let him know who sent you over. We're going to raid in the Steve Builds now. Thank you all for coming out. I do want to see more people in these streams. So if there are better topics that you guys want to see, let me know. That is all I have for you all today. Stay safe out there. Don't forget to call your loved ones. Don't forget to call your friends either. Because you love them, whether or not you know it. And as always, keep making awesome. Have a good one.